we sang about you. And you mentioned to me when I spoke to you before about still walking in the mountains. Like now you're still quite a keen walker. I just wondered how Buddhism would change your relationship with the outdoors from when you were in your 20s to now. Has Buddhism changed your relationship with the natural world?
Yeah. I remember in one of my, when I was traveling, one time I found myself on the south coast of France and I walked to Chamonix over 6 weeks, which is like hundreds of miles. And it was exquisite, it was beautiful, but it was horrible because I had this song going around my head for 6 weeks. It was just one of the most cheesy pop songs you can imagine. And at that time, in my early 20s, 24, something, I realised that what was ruining my life was my mind. So when I came across meditation, one of the first things I decided I wanted to do was learn how to stop songs going around my mind. So that's changed my relationship with the outdoors considerably, because I can be present. Does that answer that question?
Yeah.
There's a lot that one could say, but yeah, I think that there's something in that that about that's the before and the after.
It's the barriers.
In a sense, the mind's like what the sort of the stuff that I bring from the city, I can stop it being on closed loop, and it can go on a much bigger loop. In a sense, it can integrate in a different kind of way. But I think that, yeah. And as I said at the start, it's like it's a, if it generally felt, as a, I've mentioned doing all these wonderful adventurous things and getting bored. I've been doing this for over 20 years and I've not got bored yet. And that says something. And my feet haven't itched to go travelling. Before, they'd itch every few months and I'd be off. But they haven't itched for 20 years. It's good. Yeah?
When you were ordained, what was said about your name and how do you relate to that now?
A lot of things, a few things were said. So I'm named after Saraha. My name hasn't got a literal meaning. It's got implied philosophic meanings, but it hasn't got a literal meaning. So Saraha was a sort of iconoclastic, singing, meditating, rule-breaking yogi. Yeah. I don't know why I get that name. I'm such a conventionalist. I'm a devotee of Sangharakshita. Why am I an iconoclast? But maybe I don't get that. But yeah, that was what Surta said. Those sort of things, and yeah, so it's sort of a connection with that, with the figure, with the historical figure. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's something for my friends to decide. It felt like when I got the name, it felt like I'd had it for about 500 years. I do feel the connection with Saraha, the historical figure. But yeah, it's a mystery. Most order members' names mean something. Mine doesn't mean anything, which I often take to mean that I'm a bit enigmatic, which is fair enough. Yeah, can be enigmatic. Anything else, Chris?
How did you find it when Sangharakshita left?
It was all right. Yeah, I'd already moved out. Basically, when I came to Birmingham, the first year I was pretty much solidly with him, and then he started to get a bit better. So I started to come to the Buddhist Centre, and time with Sangharakshita, time at the Buddhist Centre gradually went like this. When they passed halfway, I started to work officially, more officially, I started to get financially supported by the Buddhist Centre, and Bhante got better and better. And so I'd sort of go around and see him every now and again. But yeah, I was seeing him a couple of times a year by the time he left. But I still see him occasionally, yeah. In a sense, yeah, you dangerous. You can't push him around. But no, I wouldn't say I experienced him as dangerous.
That's what I think it's challenging to be with.
Challenging to be with, yeah, yeah. The reason why it worked for me was I was so into meditation. And for me, just like spending 2 or 3 hours every evening with someone sitting doing nothing, that's quite a challenging thing to do. Especially if a lot of that time you're looking at them and they're looking at you. You know, that can be challenging, but yeah, I quite like that. My experience of him was very kind. I remember driving in places, and he'd often say, "Are you okay, Sarah? Do you want to stop for a break?" You know, he's just very kind. And he knew what he wanted. And he asked for it. And that could be challenging. He wouldn't sort of beat around the bush if he wanted something. I remember once saying to him, "Bhante, I've been writing poetry. Can I read you some of my poems?" And he goes, "No." That was it. We sat there for another 2 hours. That was quite scary. I'm so relieved he did that, though. God, it would have been so embarrassing. But no, yeah, I'd say, you know, I experienced him as kind rather than...
Just to contextualise, when I was describing as dangerous, what I meant was I was telling a story about Subhuti's first meeting with him, and the danger was that he felt that Sankaracharya was inviting him to meet him fully,
yeah,
and that could change his life completely. Mm. That was the danger he represented, the invitation to lead a completely new, more meaningful life.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that thing that I mentioned about the council meeting, you know, that's dangerous. It's so easy just to, you know, not speak your mind. People are like, no, speak your mind. That's what's important. And if you don't know, if you're not clear, well, get clear. Yeah, batter it out. So yeah, that's, you know, it's challenging, isn't it? It's sort of trying to stop superficiality. Yeah.
Just out of interest, why do you think he said no to the poetry? Was it to save embarrassment?
Probably, yeah. He just didn't want to.
Just didn't want to hear it.
Yeah. You know, he was... Yeah, he just didn't want to. I don't want to listen to people's poetry, you know. I wish I had the courage to say no when people offer to read me their poems. Thank you.
For being honest and giving me such a different outlook on life. Because I came here a couple of years ago and I had no compassion, no feeling, no... I had no outlook, really. I didn't know. And you were one of those people that just gave me that bright spark that made me, I don't know, just keep coming back and have you as a dear friend and someone that through love, care, willingness, and look at myself to change. That was a really big thing that I needed to do. And this place came to me, and you was probably the one that I was thinking, you know, who do I really respect? And I was thinking, well, I respect my father, but you were second.
Mm.
that love or that compassion to change or to look at things differently. And that's a beautiful thing. Because we come here quite angry, or lost, and never had much vision of what I want to do. And you've got Amy.
Thanks.
And the Buddhist centre. And everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I've, you know, for whatever merits I've got, someone suggested that I do the mindfulness breathing and the metta bhavana and develop honesty and friendships, and a lot of that, if not came from him, but was channeled from him, through all the members to me, and to the extent that I can pass that on to you, that's, you know, it's part of a whole thing, isn't it?
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, thanks Leon, yeah.